Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Blue Wire.
Kirk Cousins, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. This was the right call.
Cousins, pressure, hit as he throws, going for Thielen. He's got it! Touchdown! Oh, my!
Up by Diggs.
Stay
up!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
All right, welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I am your host, Adam Patrick of thevikingage.com. We're joined today, as always, by Mr. Eric Strack of minnesotasportsfan.com. Before I forget, we are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are presented by betonline.ag. But back to Eric Strack from minnesotasportsfan.com. I don't really have any creative questions for you today, Eric, so I'm just going to ask you, you know, how are you doing in this pretty much, entering the third full month of quarantine, I guess, or social distancing? I mean, what are we doing? I gave myself a haircut this weekend, and I appreciate barbers a lot more than I did in the past. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I gave myself a haircut. So anybody who follows Minnesota Sports Fan close enough, my hair was out of control. It was probably the longest it had ever been, like, as we were going into quarantine. So it got way out of control, like 3 weeks ago, and I had to give myself a haircut. And it's grown out now, so it's a little bit easier to hide a lot of the mistakes. but yeah, no, the haircut thing is an issue. Let's see, where do you want to start? My kids driving me insane. Wife driving me even more insane. How many people keep on talking about how many kids are going to be made during quarantine? How many divorces are going to be made?
There's going to be a lot of those. Well, I guess in China, that was a big thing when, like, they let people out. Their divorce rate was super high.
That doesn't shock me at all.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to figure out, you know, all right, I guess we're not compatible. Or, like, the people who would, like, they're like, oh, we're good because I get to be away from you for like 6 days out of the week.
Yeah.
So
I fall into that boat. Me. Choose me. Yeah.
Well, you never know.
Well, yeah, I think it's the biggest thing is the kids. Like, if you're just two people just hanging out, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, you're watching Netflix and there's no worries other than obviously maybe money and a job, but, like, you throw kids into the mix and it just becomes an entirely different situation.
It does. It definitely makes things tougher, and I'm going to have another one on the way in a couple weeks. So we're going to have two kids under two, so that's going to be fun.
I'll pray
for you. Luckily, by the end of the month, my wife will be, you know, back in action, so hopefully it won't be as difficult with two of us helping out. But it'll be luckily I'm going to have some time off.
Yeah.
To,
you'll need it.
To train for, you know, taking care of two kids under two. But let's get into some Vikings talk. Right before we started recording, it was posted by numerous reports that the 2020 NFL schedule is going to be released on Thursday, I believe, at 7 p.m. Central. I think it's probably on NFL Network, or they'll just release for everyone at that time. Once again, the NFL is just, you know, following through, just like acting like everything's going to be okay. So we're just going to do everything normal and don't worry about, you know, July or August. Just, but pretty much, how many primetime games do you think the Vikings will have next season? Do you even know who they're playing?
I mean, I know that they're going to play all of our division. I saw a picture. I saw a graphic earlier today that had the other teams on it. I know the quarterbacks. Thomason just tweeted out that I saw somebody else afraid of this too. Are you afraid? Are you shaking in your boots from the quarterbacks that we have to face? Like a 90-year-old Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers, whose team doesn't even believe in him and is drafting first-round quarterbacks. And
they say this every year. They say it every year, like, oh, look at all the quarterback. It's every quarter. They just list every quarterback. Like, oh, my God, look at Trubisky. Oh, my God. He was a Pro Bowler last year.
I know. I feel the opposite. I feel like everybody else is shaking in their boots. Maybe not from quarterbacks, but for whatever reason they want to. But for me, like, I feel good about this season because I just don't think the NFC North is very good. The Packers are bad, or the Lions are bad, the Bears are bad. The Packers are a team that doesn't even believe in Aaron Rodgers. Like, who knows what kind of turmoil is going to come out of that team. Like, I'm not afraid of anybody in the NFC North, and they're letting in another playoff team next year.
Right.
So I'm not.
But they have a, I would say they have a pretty tough schedule, at least on the road. I'm looking at their opponents right now. Some of their road games include at the Bucks, which is apparently a team you have to worry about now.
Yeah.
At the Seahawks, always, every year.
Yeah.
At the Saints. At the Packers, Bears, Lions. And then at the Texans and at the Colts, those could easily be games that could, you know, sneak up on them.
The Colts with Andrew Luck worry me.
I mean, he doesn't play for them anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
I'm a little bit more up on my football knowledge than that.
I thought you were going back to your bit.
You were really about to fire me.
I know. I thought you were going back to your bit of not knowing anything about, you know, the NFL, doing an NFL podcast.
Yeah. No. I'm afraid of the Colts.
Who is the Colts? Oh, Phillip Rivers. He's a quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Phillip Rivers.
But that's the thing. Like, all of these Drew Brees is 90. Phillip Rivers is 95.
Yeah, the Vikings just beat Drew Brees in New Orleans.
Yes, and what was everybody talking about during the playoffs? Drew Brees can't throw 30 yards down the field anymore. That's what everybody was talking about during the playoffs. Like, why are we afraid of Drew Brees now? I'm not afraid of Drew Brees.
The thing you got to worry about, is if Taysom Hill gets on the field, then you got to worry about him throwing darts.
And Deshaun Watson without anybody to throw to. I'm not afraid of anybody on the schedule. Russell Wilson, home games, maybe, but I hate that guy, so I want to play against him anyway.
Every year they just lose at Seattle, so we can just mark that off as a loss.
That's true.
And it doesn't matter what Seattle's record is every year. For some reason, every year they play at
that
Seattle.
That is another good question. Why do we play in Seattle every single year?
It goes by, whatever place you finish in your division. And for some reason, the Vikings and Seahawks always seem to finish in the same place in their division, so they end up playing each
Has
other.
Has anybody ever actually checked into how it actually works? I feel like they and I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but like,
no,
like, think about it. They say this is how we do it, and it's this team faces that team and everything else, but then it's like, how do we end up with Seattle then every single year? I feel like somebody out and actually test it and go, okay, they say it's this, but if we go back and look, does it actually lead up to that? Because I just find it weird that we face
every year
in Seattle. It's never home either. Like,
usually in the preseason too. It's because last year they faced the Seahawks at home in the preseason, but they always.
And
I don't know if there's some connection there.
Seattle, like,
yeah, all something players going on, go right? there. Like, old players go there to finish their careers. Sean Randall, Warren Moon, all those guys. Their home games don't look too terrible. They had the NFC North, but then they play the Carolina Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater returning to Minnesota, the Falcons, the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Cowboys are their other home games. So those aren't terrible. I think I saw today, like, the Vikings' strength of schedule is like at 18th, so like right in the middle.
Yeah.
everybody, so I'm not really worried.
You don't
really know until the season starts. That's like the all these people saying like, oh, this is gonna be a hard schedule, they gotta play the Bears twice a year. That wasn't the case last year where, you know,
we get the Lions and tough. The Bears twice. Like, we have nothing we have nothing to complain about. And like you said, the schedule conversation is completely irrelevant until you're about halfway through the season, especially this year when nobody can even practice right now, or like we have absolutely no idea who's staying fit, who's overeating, who's practicing outside,
those teams with new quarterbacks like the Panthers and even the Bucks or Colts, who, you know, they don't get to throw with their new teammates and develop some sort of chemistry. They have to wait until probably like a reduced training camp, and then just be like, oh, okay, we're going to play. Where the Vikings, you know, they got Kirk Cousins. They've had Dalvin Cook. They've had Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, all those guys. The only thing I would worry about with the Vikings is their secondary, just because they have so many new guys back there. But, you know, luckily they have Mike Zimmer who can help them with that. That would be the guy you would want to help with that. So I'm not too worried. I'm sure, you know, I'll put out a prediction or whatever of the schedule when it comes out, you know, 16-0. So I don't see any losses on the schedule. So
no, me neither. No,
that's just my opinion. I'm curious to see just how many primetime games they get. And I just really hope the Seattle game is not a primetime, because it always is. Seattle.
Which one?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
The Seattle game. It's always primetime, always Monday night in like December when it's freezing in Seattle.
For primetime predictions,
I feel like the Vikings and Bucks would be a good primetime game. Just early in the season, like that would. I feel like that would be a good matchup, just because there'll be a lot of, you know, excitement around the Bucks, and the Vikings they're a solid team.
I think it depends partly on like when the NFL and national media outlets in general realize that that Minnesota really likes to watch their teams play on national TV.
Like, they do.
You can, every time the Vikings play on national TV, it's near the top ratings for ESPN or NBC for the entire year. The Gophers are the exact same.
If they're good.
Well, yeah, but if they're not good, then they're not going to be ever even thought about being put in. The only time you would have seen a bad Vikings team on a primetime game would have been 2010 Brett Favre.
And 2016 when Bradford was there.
Oh.
And they played like on Thanksgiving and Monday night in Chicago and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true, but they were expected expected to be good that season.
I would say the best probably for primetime would obviously be the Packers, one of those games. They like to throw the Vikings and Bears on Monday night in Chicago for some reason, like every year. I would think the Saints might be like a good Sunday night game. And even the Cowboys, that could be.
And then
one too.
The problem, starting whatever week they start flexing games, you can pretty much throw all of those scheduled games right out the window. Like none of those end up taking place.
No. Yeah, we're not going to see the Lions and Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I don't think that's ever going to happen until ever. I don't know.
Ever.
I don't
the
think
the Lions
that's,
have no history of showing that they will ever be competitive. So I'm not
I did see something today where their record was projected to be 8-8, and then I was like,
"You're wrong."
That's actually surprising, because I wouldn't have even given them that. Okay, so something you wanted to talk about that you saw on the VikingAge.com that I wrote about Harrison Smith possibly being the next guy to get the extension. Because we've heard talks about, you know, Dalvin Cook and Anthony Harris, you know, at least Dalvin Cook probably getting a new deal and then just negotiating with Anthony Harris about a new deal. But I wanted to throw it out there that maybe Harrison Smith could possibly get a new deal in order to create more money for the other deals. And he's a player that I look at that probably, you know, the Vikings want to keep around, looking at him sort of as someone like a Brian Robinson and Chad Greenway, those kind of types, where they draft you and they just keep you around because you're not a distraction. You get the job done on defense. You're helpful to like building the other defense. So that's why kind of my thoughts that they want to extend him. It's probably something that most likely they would do next offseason because I believe it wouldn't cost them any money to cut him in 2021 if that was even a thought. I think he could be out for the season all of next year and still get an extension in 2021. But what do you think about the possibility of the Vikings getting an extension done early with Harrison Smith right now, even if it's like 2 or 3 years, to clear up some more money for the other deals they're trying to do?
Yeah, I think it's an absolute no-brainer. To me, it once I read that, like, it was almost one of those, why haven't we already done this? And like, I feel like you and I have talked about Harrison Smith and just the money that we would save by cutting him, which we said even back then, like, we're not cutting him, you know, it's just a huge amount of money that could be saved. We might have mentioned an extension for him a couple times when we were talking about that, just kind of in passing. But with all of the outlets and all the different people looking for things to write on the Vikings, I'm just a little bit shocked that this hasn't been talked about a little bit more, because the Vikings need money. If there's anybody on their defense who's a staple and that we're not thinking about trading away, it's Harrison Smith. So why wouldn't you take the $10 million cap hit that he has right now, extend him, I mean, maybe only one or two more seasons, but you give him more guaranteed money, you bring the 2020 cap hit down to $5, $6 million, and it's just, again, a no-brainer. It doesn't make sense not to do it.
I think they did something similar with Everson in, I want to say, 2016, because that's when he signed another new deal. And they've done this in the past with, like, I think they even did it with Harrison Smith and Kyle Rudolph and guys like that.
Because we talked about it, how Harrison is, like, one of the only guys who beat the Vikings. Like, he beat them.
He got that
everybody
money.
Else has to fall off the wagon, and the Vikings end up cutting them or making them take a discount. Now he's the one with the power. Like, if he decides to say, no, I don't want to take an extension, I want my $10 million, for whatever reason, if the Vikings come with a deal that he doesn't think is good enough, he's the one with the power. If he says no, then it just stays the way it is, and the Vikings ride it out, whereas usually it's the Vikings with the power saying, if you don't take this deal, then we're going to have to cut you, or we're going to have to trade you, or whatever. Like, Harrison actually played his way into a leverage situation, which doesn't happen with these contracts very often that aren't guaranteed. So it almost makes, because of that, it makes more sense for everybody. Like, it's not on the level of, well, the Vikings are forcing him into this. No, it makes sense for the Vikings, and it makes sense for Harrison, because the Vikings are going to have to come with a deal that is good enough for him, because if he says no, then they're just going to keep it the way it is. So it's up to the Vikings to make it good enough for him. So it makes sense all around. It doesn't make sense not to do it.
Yeah, and they drafted, like, I think they drafted two safeties this year, but they weren't early round picks. I think the first one might have been in the 5th round or the 6th round. So,
well, and even if they were, you'd be thinking Anthony Harris. You wouldn't be thinking Harrison Smith. Right. That's the thing. Like,
you would think you would bring in someone for Harrison Smith to groom as either like someone to work with or as his eventual replacement.
And it allows you more flexibility with Anthony Harris, because if you lower the cap hit on Harrison Smith, well, now if you keep Anthony Harris, you give him the franchise tag. It makes, let's say this is what I'll say for sure. It makes way more sense to extend Harrison Smith and play Anthony Harris on the franchise tag
than to give
Harris the extension that saves money for this year. But then you have to keep Harris. So if you're looking to save that money at the safety position somewhere, but you want to keep both safeties, makes way more sense to save that money with Harrison Smith and then still have options next year for Anthony Harris.
Yeah, I think if they can figure out a way to, I think his cap hits around like $10.5 million for next season. If they can figure out a way maybe to lower that by even just like $4 million,
Which is
with an extension.
In my opinion, that's right around what it would be, because again, you go back to like the Christian McCaffrey contract.
Yeah.
Like it's usually that first year or whatever year that they decide to shave off the money. Usually that's about it. Out of 10 out of a $10 million average contract, you're usually going to be able to save $3 to $4 million on whatever year you want to and tack it on to a different year.
Well, you can look at Kirk Cousins' deal. They gave him an extension. They lowered his cap it by $10 million.
Right. But that, and that's the thing. It's all a percentage thing, right? So like,
yeah,
like whatever percentage of $10 million goes down to $6 million, if you take that to $30 million, now it goes up to whatever percentage that is more around $8 or $10 million. So
it was about probably like a 30%.
Right.
You're
able to percentage. Lower it.
So that would be about three or four million of probably whatever Harrison Smith would get, because he's still worth top dollar.
Hell yeah, he's still worth top dollar.
I think he's made like 5 straight Pro Bowls, even though he didn't. He was a reserve or
right. Oh yeah, because NFL last hates, year. Because the national media hates Minnesota, but
yeah.
Other than that,
before we get to some Twitter questions, I just wanted to ask you. I know you've watched The Last Dance. I still have one more episode to watch to be caught up.
Yeah.
Watch the Air Jordan one. That was good. Did you watch the Alex Smith documentary?
I have watched parts of it enough to know that his leg
looked
so disgusting when he got, like, I can't even, my daughter, she's like, ew, what is that? Turn that off the TV. and even when he's walking on it and he's got all those pins and needles, like, I'm like, don't walk on that. Ah, don't do that. No, you don't.
And he wants to play football again.
I know. Yeah, no, I've watched a little bit, but I would say, how many episodes have there been? 3? 2?
Of his? Yeah. Of the Alex Smith? Yeah. There's only one. It was just it's like an E60.
Yeah, it's an
hour-long thing.
Okay, so I've probably seen about half of it then. I thought it was like a multi-episode
deal. Think it's just an hour-long.
Okay, so then I've seen about half of it.
Yeah, I just have no desire at all to see it, just because of everything I've already heard and how his leg looks disgusting. I've seen pictures, so I don't really need to see actual video footage of him, you know, rehabbing or whatever, and them showing everything. I didn't get infected at one point.
It wouldn't shock me. That thing is disgusting.
Yeah, I think it got infected at one point when it was trying to heal, and he had to have more surgery. But just... Look, he's made so much money already. I know it's not about the money. It's for the love of the game. Right. Don't stop trying to come back. Okay? First off, who's going to sign you? Who's going to sign you?
Right.
You're going to play for... I mean, the Redskins probably would, because they're just dumb. But, like, with Teddy, he had the luxury of already... Well, I guess Alex Smith is still signed to his contract with the Redskins. I actually don't even know. But Teddy had the luxury of being under contract still with the Vikings, and they were nice enough to, you know, keep him under contract, and let him rehab and then stay with the team until it ran out.
Well, and Teddy was younger too.
Right. Really exactly. Man. Like Alex Smith, you've had a respectable NFL career. Like, I know I don't think he's won a Super Bowl. He's not going to win an MVP, so he doesn't need to come back to try and do that. Look at your family. I know he has kids and stuff. Like, just try and be, like, healthy and be able to walk for your family. Like, think about that instead of trying to come back. And I feel like he could even have a career outside of football.
Oh, he could, for sure.
Or off the field as, like, a coach or an analyst or something like that. Just stop trying. The same thing with, like, Ryan Shazier. Like, we get it. Like, you want to come back and play and have the great comeback story, but your situation doesn't allow you to do that.
Right.
So,
I think it's a couple things. I think one is a drive in life in general. Like, this is all Alex Smith, like number one pick, like probably been being groomed to be a really good quarterback since middle school.
San Diego, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. So like, probably been groomed to be a really good quarterback since like middle school. Played, this is all he knows.
I think he played with or against Reggie Bush. Yeah. When they were in high school. So
obviously, and he was highly recruited, number one pick out of college. So like, this is what he knows. So like, when you get a devastating leg injury like that, and he even talks about this a little bit in the documentary, that he went through a period where it's like, where do I go from here? Like, what do I do with my life? And
all he's known is football.
Right. So like, if you're him and you don't, if you decide I'm not getting back on the football field, then what drives you to really go through all of that rehab, to really make sure that your leg heals properly, like to really attack it? Like, you think about, and it's not to the same level, obviously, because it's not necessarily life threatening, but you look at people who get like a devastating disease, right? You have some people who they get the mentality that they're going to fight it.
Is that happening right now in the world?
Yeah, just a little bit, you know, but they get the mentality that they're going to like fight it, right? And
yeah,
all of
like
a sudden
they get cancer or something.
They turn 6 months into 5 years or 10 years, mm-hmm. or they start breaking. But the reason why that timeline that they're given is 6 months is because of statistics. Not everybody decides that they can look at it and go, I'm going to attack it. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to fight it. Like, getting that news is devastating, and not everybody is able to rally themselves to fight it. So for Alex Smith, if you're going to decide to attack it, you have to have a reason for why you're going to attack it. And for him, it's coming back to football. If you decide, I want to heal, obviously, but I'm never going to play football again, you might not attack that rehab in the same way. The other thing is brand, right? So like, even if Alex Smith decides at the end of this, he's never going to play football again, maybe he tries it, it doesn't work out, whatever.
I don't know if he's going to make that decision. I think teams not signing him will.
Right. Well, yeah. So let's say it doesn't work out. Well, he now had this thing on ESPN. Now he goes and he wants to call games, or now he's getting bigger contracts because people want him more. So brand awareness, I would say that's part of the reason why.
Someone gets a devastating injury, he can be like, let's talk to Alex Smith and get his point of view.
Well, and look at Robert Griffin. I mean, it didn't obviously work out for him, but when he had to come back, he had that whole thing with, who was it, Adidas or whatever, where they like made those commercials and like him like comeback story or whatever. Like,
they made
a commercial series of him on the comeback with him like doing workouts and stuff.
By the way, where is the doc on Teddy? I think a lot of people would want to watch that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's some fishy things going on to hide what actually happened.
See, we're putting it all together.
No. Before we get to some Twitter questions, I mentioned in the beginning we are brought to you by betonline.ag. So with currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, I did see that baseball is rumored to be coming back soon, in July, I think. You might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you would be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on TV shows like Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, and you can even bet on stock prices. Everything is open 24 hours a day, and it's all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. And just like in our last episode, we are brought to you as well today by Blue Chew. Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Go to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. So you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time in the waiting room or waiting in the pharmacy line. So Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. Alrighty, let's get to some Twitter questions. There was a couple that were submitted, and I think I want to go with this one, which is probably better answered by Eric, because it has to do with someone on the Gophers. Finn Krause at First Down Finn asked, would you be for or against drafting either Tanner Morgan or Trey Lance in 2021 and having them sit a year behind Kirk Cousins?
Oh, man. I don't know if Tanner Morgan is necessarily the guy. I like Tanner Morgan.
He's not a top pick?
I'm not going to put him there yet, but he's got two seasons left, right?
Was he going to be a junior?
Yeah.
And when is college football even coming back?
Yeah, well, that's
the spring.
It all depends. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to when colleges let students back in. I was thinking about this, like, they're, as much as they want that money from football, like, they might force students back into class early so that they can make sure that they have football, because you can't have your student athletes playing football unpaid
and not have the other kids.
If the kids aren't allowed to go to school and learn.
Yeah, go risk your life. It's okay.
I know, exactly, but they need that money. So,
yeah, they do.
So it's all going to depend on when kids go back to class. That's going to be a big part of it. But look, you mentioned this a little bit earlier. The NFL, like, they're going to end up, from what it's looking so far, I think they're going to end up looking like the smart ones out of all of this, because they never
keeping everything going.
Just kept everything going. We'll make a decision when we have to, but, like, you know that they have the highest people in the highest places, right? Like, they know they have intel from the best scientists, from the best doctors, from the best disease control specialists,
economists.
Who are telling them this is what we think is going to happen. This is what, like, if the NFL is not ruling out fans in stands by September, then I'm not ruling out a vaccine coming before September, because they've already,
or even a treatable, like, drug,
right,
or a drug that you can use to treat it until you get a vaccine.
You're seeing a lot of reports that are saying December for sure, that something will be ready by December. It wouldn't shock me if it's earlier than that, because I don't see fans in the stands until we have a vaccine. And so if the NFL is saying that they're still hoping for fans in the stands in September, then it wouldn't shock me if we've got a vaccine rolling out by September.
I don't know about the fans. Like, even if you're allowed to go back, I know a lot of people would take that opportunity, but I don't think
that's what
it's going to be.
You would need
back to normal.
You would need a vaccine to be back to normal. That's the only way.
Yeah. I think 2021 is probably the earliest where we're gonna see packed stadiums.
I'm telling you, man, the NFL is not ruling it out yet. There's a reason the NFL is not ruling it out. Like, there's a reason why they aren't ruling it out. It's because they know once we get a vaccine for this, according to what all the scientists say, then it becomes another flu. Right now we have another flu vaccine shot that
hopefully
we get. It's a COVID vaccine. That's what they're expecting. That it's a COVID. Flu, just like any other flu vaccine that we get. Well, if that's the case, then once the vaccine is here and once we're giving the vaccine out to the masses, then really I would expect life to go back to normal, just like it did from the Spanish influenza in 1918 and wherever else. Like, at the end of the day, once you get a vaccine, that's when life starts to go back to normal.
Didn't the Spanish flu kill like 50 million people?
Well, yeah, because they didn't know what was killing people until long after it had already done its damage. Now we just know more about how all of this works.
Well, hopefully people don't, ruin all the progress we've made so far by you know, protesting.
As long as they're protesting in warm weather states, I'm starting to think that it doesn't matter as much.
Oh, yeah, they're protesting out here. Don't close their beaches.
But the fact that Florida isn't the epicenter coronavirus stage from hell right now says something, because, like,
you look at... Yeah, I wouldn't believe everything that's out there, because I've seen that they're hiding stuff as well.
So. You can't hide what happened in New York.
Like, oh no, you can't hide that.
If you were, if Florida was what we expected Florida to be, right? Remember when all the spring breakers were going crazy?
It's old people disease.
Yeah. When the spring breakers were out in Florida, all Florida has is spring breakers in March and old people the rest of the year.
Yep.
So when we saw what was happening in Florida, I was looking at it going, oh my God, this is going to be the most hellacious scene we've ever seen in the history of the United States in 3 weeks because of what we saw in New York. But then it doesn't end up turning out that way. So even if it is worse than what they say, I expected it to be 10 times worse than what New York was. And it just never happened.
Funny story related to coronavirus, since we're on the topic. Yesterday at one of the local grocery stores out here in San Diego, some guy decided that his mask was going to be a KKK mask. That went over very well. He had to remove it. And he's very lucky probably to still be alive right now.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a fun story I read yesterday. But moving on to our next Twitter question from Chad Sproles at, believe it or not, Chad Sproles. It's a pretty interesting question. What current or former Vikings player would be best suited to fight an actual Viking in a gladiator-style matchup? I think the answer is pretty obvious.
Daniel Hunter. Get back to me after.
I'm trying to think of like an underrated guy. I think Dalvin Cook's he's pretty jacked. He's a little smaller, so it's more compact, but I think he could probably hold his own.
I'm trying to think of more like who has the attitude to do something like that.
Yeah, like just like, I feel like Ifedi Odenigbo is a little out there, so maybe his like craziness.
Like, is there anybody on our offensive line that just has like
a nasty streak
that, like?
Yeah, I think that's what's missing. That's why they haven't been that good.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I would be looking for, because
Kyle Rudolph. No.
The Kirk Cousins send him into battle. Our leader.
Yeah. No, God. Yeah. You're like, oh, I guess good thing you just sent Kirk to die, so thanks.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Harrison Smith would be a good one. I feel like I wouldn't want to fuck with Harrison Smith.
No, yeah, he seems like a quiet, like, actual hit... Like, his nickname is the Hitman.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think he'd be like a quiet assassin sort of type.
Anthony, so, yeah, I can Anthony see that. Barr, if you could keep him motivated.
Yeah, right? What do you do to keep him motivated?
Do you think his life being on the line would be motivating enough if he was fighting a Viking?
I don't even know if it would. If you gave him like a cool pair of like cleats or something, if he won.
When I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking like, you're fighting a Viking, swords, everything, like it's to the death. Yeah. So that's why I want somebody with like a nasty streak. Like, sure, Danielle Hunter is a mat. Like, that's physique. That's who you would want. But if the guy doesn't have a mean streak that's wanting to cut somebody's head off, then it doesn't really matter how big he is.
Could Adam Thielen be an underrated guy? Because he's got a little attitude on the field. He gets into some shouting matches, you know, Bill Belichick and all that stuff.
That would come down to a size.
He's been underestimated most of his, at least his early career. You know, he wasn't
how big is
given
this
a chance. Yeah, right.
That's
what are we talking about? Are we talking about that that actual Viking who's like the world's strongest man?
Thielen is
who's in like
that
Game
guy.
Of Thrones. No,
so that's kind of my problem with Thielen.
That guy makes, I remember, I think it was a picture of either Danielle Hunter or Linval Joseph, like, standing next to him, and he made him look like a child.
Yes. Like, I imagine like an Alex Boone type, except Alex Boone would talk all the talk, and then when he got there, he'd get his head chopped off before he even makes a move.
He'd probably just get annoyed because Alex Boone was talking so much and just leave. Just like, I don't even want to fight you because it's annoying me so much. I need to leave.
That's what and he was always, he always talked so
and
much.
He's like, I won.
Yeah, but then when it got to the battle, he was so bad. So like, he would talk the whole time there, and then he wouldn't even get a swing of the sword, and his head would be gone.
Fun fact. Well, not fact, but theory of mine is I think Alex Boone was behind the whole stuffed animal throat slashing fiasco that Zimmer had to deliver a public statement about. Oh, that's one of my most favorite days of Mike Zimmer's career, when he has to have a press conference reading out a written sheet that I had nothing to do with the slashing of stuffed animals in the locker
room. So you think Alex Boone did it, or you think Alex Boone is the one who ratted him out?
Who else would do that?
Well, I thought, I always just, I assumed that it was Zimmer. Isn't that what we always thought?
Well, he did it, but apparently somebody went in and added like fake blood or whatever.
I see. So you think he went?
Yeah.
That one's,
and then Alex Boone's gone the next year.
It also wouldn't shock me, like, he has like all of these.
That's like his kind of, it's like personality
also, yeah, that's true. But he also has like all of these friends in like media. Like, it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, like, I thought you were gonna say that like he might have been the one who like leaked it to media. Not that he was to like rat out Zimmer, but that he was being like, oh yeah, we did this, and then Zimmer did this, and then one media member's like, he did what? And then went to the press.
I'm sure he did that because he probably thought it was hilarious or cool or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's good for now. Some people submitted questions, but I think we'll be okay for this week. We will be back with another episode this week with an actual guest, someone who used to play for the Vikings, and he'll give us some for the Vikings and the Bengals, I believe, under Mike Zimmer, so he can give us some good insight with that. But that's going to do it for us. Go check out minnesotasportsfan.com for all the stuff Eric has up on there, and of course check out thevikingage.com for all the stuff on the Vikings. Make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at Bleeding Podcasts. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And just keep tuning in. We appreciate everyone listening to us.
And even if you don't listen, just hit the download button.
Yeah. Just do that. I don't care. That's what I tell my wife to do. So
yes,
you don't have to listen. Just download it. I don't care.
Yeah, do us a solid and hit the download.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hit 5 stars on the reviews and tell us our show is terrible. As long as you hit 5 stars, I don't care what you write.
5 stars, download our favorite listener, even
terrible
if you don't listen.
Terrible show, 5 stars. Until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye, fam.